Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 7. The book of Luke, chapter 7. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It doesn't say it's difficult, doesn't say it's unlikely, doesn't say you can't do much, you can't do anything. Without faith, it is impossible. That's why the devil's main job is to canker your faith, to destroy it, to get it gone, because it's the one thing that causes God great pleasure in our lives. Now, it's by faith you got saved, for by grace are ye saved through faith. That not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But Jesus in the Word made a comment about faith that is worth looking at. Jesus saw people, and the Bible says he marveled at their lack of faith. The word marveled there meant take your breath away. That this is something special. I think we would use the word, oh my word. If the Lord was here walking the aisles, if we'd say, Lord, pick out the people here. Look at each one of us. And how would you review our life of faith? When he comes to you, would he say, not much there. When he came to me, what would he say? Not much there. But then he looked at someone else and he marveled at how great their faith was. And God's looking at our faith this morning. Now, we can fool each other, but nobody fools God. You seemed like great people to me. I love the folks in this church. Had the privilege to get here just a little early and shake a few hands. How I love the heart of this church. But when it comes to the Lord, he knows the faith life of David Gibbs, and he knows your faith life. Now, here's the scary part of this. When Jesus said he marveled at how little their faith was, it was amongst his own family. It was his own home people. The people that should have had it, the people he grew up with, the people who knew him. Jesus marveled at how little faith they had, and it said because their faith was so little, the Lord couldn't do many mighty things there. But then he comes to a man that you would never expect to have great faith, a Roman centurion. And God says, wow, I have not found so great faith in all of Israel like that man has. Let's read the story. It's found in Luke chapter 7. And God tells us some keys here by which we can tell where our faith is. Now, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus, verse 6, went with them. And was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. They that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick. Jesus said, I want to show you a real hero of the faith. But he's not somebody you'd probably pick Roman centurion was somebody who was there to rule by terror. It's the Roman Empire. They have conquered by force. And they put the centurions there. The centurion's job was to keep everybody in line. The centurion's job was to make you understand, you tangle with us, we can kill you. This centurion had the permission to kill anybody without cause. And they had complete immunity for killing people. Wow. On top of that, they did some things that they found effective. They found that if kids were giving them difficulty and young people, they would cut their hands off. They would say, let's just send you through life with no hands and let that be a warning. They ruled by intimidation. They ruled by fierceness. They were nobody to be messed with, and they were hated. Oh, were they hated. The Roman centurions had the power to abduct people. They could take any person that they have just had a hankering to and say, you're mine now, I'm taking you. And there's all these stories of how husbands and sons and daughters and wives would simply be taken and pressed into service and disappear, never to be seen again. And there was nothing you could do. This was the Roman Empire that ruled by force. Now this centurion has a servant that's sick. And he hears about Jesus, the Son of God. And he goes to the people he rules over. And he said, would you please go see if you can get Jesus to do something for my servant? That's the story we just read. Only this centurion was different. The Bible tells us three things about him. And these three things are why Jesus said, wow, I marvel at your faith. I've not found so great faith, no, not in all of Israel. Write these three things down. Here's number one, and boy, are they key. The first thing is this man had a good name for ruling over people he didn't have to be nice to. He chose to be kind. He chose to be loving. Look at what they said about him. I love this part. When they came to Jesus for sore, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. The people who should normally hate him adored him. Not because he was fierce, but because he was loving. You can always tell great faith because it evidences through a life that's loving, a life that's kind. The world should never doubt our sincerity, our love or our grace. They may not want to accept our Christ, and they may not like our message, but they should never doubt your grace, your love, and your kindness. Would the people around you say, that's a kind lady. That's a kind man. That's a gracious family. When there's great faith, that life always evidences itself. It always shines out. In the church that I grew up in, we had a man there who was the best soul winner in our church. His name was Red. I don't know his real name. Everybody called him Red because he had shocking red hair. And he worked for Goodyear Tire and Rubber in Akron, Ohio. Now, this is before they had pneumatics and all the things where this stuff was handled by hydraulics. This was hard physical work. And every day, Red would go to work out on the tire foundry floor. And all the people there said, let me tell you something about him. He always talks about Jesus and then does the work of four people. He works like nothing you've ever seen. And he tells us, I'm not doing this for Goodyear, I'm doing this for Jesus. And if I can help you with your work, I'll help you too. Some of us put him to the test over and over again. He always chipped in, and he always helped. He had something that made him different. If you've got great faith, it will make you different. Such that the people who should hate you will say, he's worthy. Do this, Jesus. I listen to the different news media outlets. And it doesn't matter whether you listen to Fox or MSNBC or CBS, ABC, doesn't matter. They're all upset. And they're all mad. How many of you figured that out? They're all upset at something. And they want you upset at what they're upset at. But I don't hear anybody say, what a nice lady. What a kind, loving lady. What a nice man. What a kind man. They don't have to agree with us. But that faith changes your life. I watched this young soldier walking here. Stand up, young man. You're there in uniform. What branch are you in? Let's thank him for his Marine service. I respect him for that uniform he wears. It means something. But I respect most of the fact of how he acts while he has it on. He brings honor to it. There's a kindness to it. By the way, if he ever does something in that uniform that isn't appropriate, the military code of justice will kick in. Boy, his commanding officers will get a hold of him in a heartbeat and straighten him out. I remember the other day a young man came up to me, I'm sick and tired of anybody telling me what to do. I said, good. He said, I know what I'm going to do. I said, what's that? He said, I'm going to join the Marines. I said, son, you're in for a wake-up call. I love his spirit, his grace here. The Lord's looking at me. Is David Gibbs a kind person? Are you a kind person? Now, it's a command, be ye kind, tender-hearted, loving. There's no such thing as a good Christian who's unkind. Yeah, but Brother Gibbs, you don't know what I got to put up with. Doesn't matter what you have to put up with. This centurion was beloved by the people he ruled over. And he didn't have to be nice. He chose to be nice. He chose to say, I'm even going to build you a temple. Now let me tell you how bizarre that is. Caesar, who's his boss, wants to be worshipped. Caesar wants the entire Roman Empire to bow and worship him. And he says, I'm going to build you a temple to your God. Because that's the kind of kindness I'm going to show. That's the love and the grace. We're living in a day when kindness is in short supply. God says, you want great faith? You want to see God do what only God can do? It starts with you being a loving, kind person. That's what Jesus recorded. Now, this didn't get put in your Bible just to fill part of a column. Jesus put that there so you could absolutely know why he said this about this centurion. We don't know his name. We get to heaven, I sure want to meet him. You're the one. Out of everybody, Jesus said, wow, I've never seen faith greater than that right there. I want to meet you. But I also want to meet the men who said, let us tell you about him. Let us tell you, Jesus, why we've come to get you. Let us tell you how kind he was to us. Are there going to be people we can go to and say, tell me about him. For all eternity, tell me. Wow. We only get to live once. And the tragedy of it is, if we're not careful, we mark our days with unkindness. Yeah, but you don't know the frustrations I got to deal with. And you don't know my mother-in-law, and you don't know my boss, and you don't know my neighbor, and on and on. You don't know my health situation and my family. You're right on all those points. But the bottom line is, God says, I want you to be kind. I want you to be gracious. Jesus said, without this kindness, we're nothing. He says, this is the evidence of love. Remember, without love, you don't have anything. And then when he said, let me explain love to you, he said, love is kind. Wow. If you gave yourself a scorecard on kindness, how would you grade yourself? How would God grade me? Mr. Centurion, you got great faith because your kindness is everywhere. And even the people you don't have to be nice to adore you. Wow. Write the second key down. Number one, this was a kind man, a kind man. Number two, this was a man of humility. Jesus is on his way to heal the servant. And word comes to the centurion, Jesus is coming this way. And look at what he does in verse 6. I love this part. He says, say unto the Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but I say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Jesus, I'm not worthy to come to you, and I'm not worthy to have you come to me. Humility. If you're only going to hear one thing today, please hear this, especially if you're a child of God. The Bible says God resisteth the proud. It's repeated in James chapter 4, verse 6, and then again in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. You understand? You have God against you. The Almighty God is against you if you have pride in your life. People regularly call us. They say, boy, this is happening, and this is happening, and this is happening. And they tell me this litany of terrible circumstances. And they say, Brother Gibbs, I don't know what's going on. I don't understand how all this can be happening. And I always ask them, have you got any pride in your life? Because if you got pride in your life, you're bucking God. You got God against you. Now, I didn't say that. Your pastor didn't say that. The Bible says it. God resisteth the proud. And the word resist there was the word for smacking something down. Whoa. Brother Gibbs, you just can't imagine what I'm going through. The first thing you want to do is make sure there's no pride. Now, the only way to get rid of pride is to humble yourself. Four times in the New Testament, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. You can't be humble and proud. Listen, you don't have to say this, Mr. Centurion. You're a powerful, very wealthy man. No, no, no. I am not worthy. When you prayed today, did you ever say in your heart, Lord, that you put up with me is amazing? How many of you are amazed that God puts up with you? Hold your hand up, would you? Have you ever had this thought, if I were God, I think I'd thunk me a good one? Have you ever had that thought? I have. See, if you knew me like God knows me and like I know me, you'd understand I have a lot to be humble over. So do you, my friend. You can't be humble and proud at the same time. No, 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 no. The world says that's not what you want to do. No, no, no. You got to act large and in charge. Doesn't matter whether you're nothing. Act like you're something. God says, no, no, no. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Mr. Centurion, why'd you say that? Because it's true. I am not worthy that he should come to me. And I'm not worthy that he should come to my house. When's the last time you said that to the Lord and meant it? God, all your blessings, all your grace, I'm completely undeserving. Remember, we're saved by grace. Grace means not earned. If we got what was earned, we'd all be in hell for eternity. But by grace are ye saved through faith. That's why we're heaven bound. But don't ever forget, pride is what tore up heaven. That's what started the war in heaven between God and the devil. And the devil still wants to foster it down here. Yeah, Brother Gibbs, I got a few things that are probably not the best, but I'm not all that bad. You're never going to see great grace. God says, I want you to humble yourself. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. By the way, if you won't humble yourself, God can help you do it. God can bring stuff in where you come to say, I got to have you. I can't handle this. We get calls every day from people who are just at wit's end. I got to have God. Oh, my friend, humble yourself. This centurion, first thing he did was he was kind. Kind and loving. The people he didn't have to be to. Then the second thing was he was a gracious man. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. Now, be careful. If he had said that and it wasn't true, if he was just using words to try to manipulate Jesus, Jesus would have called him out for it immediately. Oh, you're saying you're not worthy, but you know what's in your heart, the pride that's there. No, these were true words. That's why Jesus says such great things. Number one, be kind. Number two, get humble. Write number three down and we're done. Jesus marveled at his faith because he took Jesus at his word. I love how he said this. All you have to do is say it. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy, verse 7, to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. I'm just taking you at your word, Jesus. That's all you have to do. Say it, and I accept. Well, yeah, he had Jesus. We have Jesus' word. And God says, I want you to take me at my word. Well, I don't quite see the match here, Brother Gibbs. Oh, it's very simple. In the book, Jesus says very carefully, overcome evil with good. We're living in a culture where we think evil is funny, where we think evil is humorous. God says, I want you to get away from it. I don't want you to have anything to do with it. That's my word. I'm inviting you to do the impossible. With God, all things are possible. Seven times Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. And then 11 times he talks about it's only impossible with man. It's never impossible with God. What do you need from God that's impossible? Take him at his word. His word. Wow. Yeah, but my situation's gone on a long time and I've just kind of given up hope. Don't you dare. Don't you dare give up hope. Take the Lord at his word. That's what faith is about. The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. What would you do to take Jesus at his word? Jesus said his word said, love your enemies. Now, I say this and I hope I'm wrong. I find sometimes it's hard to love your friends, let alone your enemies. How many of you know some aggravating friends? Hold your hand up, would you? Yeah. How many of you got some aggravating friends in your family? Hold your hand up. Yeah. How many of you are sitting next to one right now? Hold your hand up. Oh, listen. You understand what Jesus said? He didn't say love your friends. That's in it. He said love your enemies. The people who are plotting to do you harm. The people who are against everything that's good for you. Love them. Take Jesus at his word. Wow. Our pastor did something for a long time. He would write down a command on a small card and hand it out. And he'd say, this week, do this. It's a command. And so if it was love your enemies, all week you looked at that little card and it said, love your enemies. Don't just know that, do it. The fact you know you're supposed to do it doesn't mean anything. Doing it, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do it. That was this centurion. Jesus, all you have to do is take your word. You're a man with authority. And I've got the same thing, only mine's just a human in an army. You've got the authority of God. If you say he's healed, it will happen. If you tell me to do something, it will happen. Whoa. We're living now in a day when the Bible is seriously questioned. That, by the way, is why everybody wants a different Bible. They want to make it read different. How many of you know God doesn't hand out editions of his word? His word is eternal. God says, I want you to take me at my word. Mr. Centurion, you're amazing. The Son of God said he's not found anybody with greater faith than you because you were kind to people you didn't have to be, kind and loving, because you were a man who humbled yourself. I'm not worthy, and you meant it, and God knew you meant it. And number three, you said, all you have to do is say it, and I accept what you say. Wow. Jesus did all kinds of mighty miracles there. The record records it. But he couldn't do it back at his hometown because their faith was so lax. Boy, why don't we see God do something, David? The problem is not outside. The problem's in me. The problem's in you, my precious friend. Have we got the faith? The faith. For God to act on it. Remember, without it, we can't please him. I know we're living in a different America today with a lot of uncertainty, but here's the good news. God's totally in control. Totally in control. And you've got the last chapter. We know how all of this is going to end. We know. We don't have to wonder who's going to win. God tells us who's going to win. But will we be the people of faith that God calls us to be? Kind and loving to people we don't have to be kind to. Number two, humble. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Wow. And number three, just take God at his word. I was in the car with my grandchildren. And we're going through a McDonald's and the drive-thru. And it's like the girl on the other end is there to aggravate me. I mean, she's working at it. I'm tired. And I'm trying to get our order straight. And I got our order all written out so that I can read it to her. And she keeps getting it confused. And then she says, now look at the screen. Is that what you... I say, no, that's not what we ordered. She's okay, let's start over. Well, once you've started over the fifth time, finally, I simply said, have you got boxing gloves on or something? How come the buttons are not? And my wife said, now be nice, be nice. But I'm just, and I told her, I said, young lady, I don't know how you ever got out of junior high school. Wow. My granddaughter Heather's in the back seat. And she said, Papa, that's what they call me. Is that kind? I said, yeah, under these circumstances, that's very kind. You ought to see what I was thinking of saying, child. No, that wasn't kind. You see, kindness is no problem until you're aggravated. Then all of a sudden, the tongue gets wagging, the mind gets thinking and scheming. And suddenly, the faith is gone. The first key is be kind, tender-hearted, loving. That's the command. We got to be that, Mr. Centurion. We got to be gracious. And by your grace, we got to be a people who humble themselves. Wow. And then by your grace, we're going to be a people who simply take you at your word. We want you to find among us great faith. Bow your heads in prayer. Father, the hope of America, the hope of a family, the hope of a life is faith in Jesus Christ. You told us the story of exactly why you found so great faith in this centurion.